Thank you. Eric? Thank you, Eric. Is that working?
Yeah. Not yet.
Oh. Wait. Click the switch. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Eric, for that. Really appreciate it. And that was a fantastic scripture reading. I just make this comment first. We're down to two speakers now here at Forth the Lakes. It's Elder Jim and myself. Rain's now, I think he's going to Florida on the 29th of this month. So we won't see him again until May sometime. So it's what, January, February, March, April? 4.5 to 5 months from now. And I was very tossed as to what I wanted to bring today. And it started out as a single message, a sermon. I got about, I'd say 90% into it, and I decided, I don't think I like that. So then I decided to make it into a short message, because we don't have anybody too often that brings a short message, and I haven't done one of those for a coon's age, it would seem. Quite a long time, in other words. So I started to redo it and look at it, and it's not a short message. It's now what you call a medium message. Eric said it right, it's a split sermon. So I'm looking at about a half an hour here, and then we're having a second message after that. But if we were asked to explain how we personally shine our lights into this world of darkness in which we live in, how would we personally go about doing that? Have you ever thought about that before? Because the truth of the matter is this. We are to be lights in the surrounding darkness of this world. And even though right now we walk around the neighborhoods at night, it's not so dark, is it? There's all kinds of lights taking place. That's not the light I'm talking about, by the way. This is the time of year for lights. So even though we're going to shine our lights, most of the time, it's going to be just this small light. And you know what times? It's going to be barely noticeable. Do you ever think about that? I have. Sometimes I wonder whether I got the switch even turned on. It's barely noticeable. In the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, it ends with what we would refer to as the Great Commission, where Jesus himself, at that point in time, instructs his disciples. Matthew 28, take a look at it. Matthew 28, and I'm going to quote here, and this is out of the Faithful Version, by the way, from 18 to 20, three verses, and I quote there, "All authority," this is Christ speaking, "has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of just a few nations." No, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you, even until the end of the age. And the amen's in dark. It's not read there. It's amen, but that's been added. Okay? So what I want to end up going, what I want to discuss in this message is how we can engage with others that we personally come into contact with in our personal daily activities. So the title for today's message is Sharing the Truth. Now, how do we go about doing this with people out there that are not now sitting in this particular circle? They're not in the church of God, as we would put it. How do we go about doing that? I don't think it's anything easy to comprehend. It sounds easy, but it isn't. Now, here's what we heard a while ago in another message. It was a couple of years ago now. Another message came, not from the podium, but from behind here on the television screen. And it was this. By formulating a quick story, and once you do this quick story, you'll be able to use it on a constant basis, all the time. Perfecting your story as you constantly grow in grace and knowledge. And we would call this walking and talking. I got two ladies on my right-hand side here. They call it walkie-talkie. Walking and talking. They call it walkie-talkie. I thought that was interesting. I'm stealing your phraseology from you, ladies. So, mentioning Jesus or talking about what he did seems to be almost taboo. It's a taboo subject in this Western society, in this Western culture, isn't it? Especially when you're talking about the true Jesus, because there's false Christ as well. You heard some noise in the back room. That's not where Christ is. Not there. So, even saying his name sometimes can sometimes make people respond strangely, or they might want to flee the conversation. They might not want to see your little light shining. Don't want to hear it. So this makes evangelization efforts awkward and very difficult at times. As Christians, as true Christians, we recognize that. What happens when that happens? We leave feeling defeated. We leave feeling very frustrated and wondering, where can I ever shine my light? How can I ever get out and share this good news that I'm aware about, that we're aware about? This is amazing stuff. We know it's coming. It's a fantastic message. What's it about? It's about the coming kingdom. And if people shy away from topics like this, then how are they ever going to know? It's mystifying, isn't it? So the question remains, how do we somehow get this across to people out there? Could be living right beside you. I have that up and down my street. Almost, you couldn't throw a stone and hit any Christians on my street. None of them go to church. They might call themselves Christians, but they don't practice it, if there's any way of practicing it. They don't practice, they don't go to any particular church. And if you were talking to them across the fence, the topic would never come up unless you brought it up. And the truth of the matter is, nothing has changed with God. He says there, I think it's in Hebrews 13, I'll have it in my notes here, but I think it says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So nothing has changed with God down through time. He has been calling many, right? Remember that quote in Matthew 20, verse 16? Matthew 22, verse 14. Many are called. You don't see the many in here right now. You see the few. Many are called, and not many chosen, but few are chosen. The reason being, the many have not been carefully listening and doing what else? Responding properly. This makes me think of something. Might make you think of a different scripture, but this came to mind. We have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves as we go about shining our light out there to other people. So there must be some methodology we can draw from, wouldn't you think? How can we come across, brothers and sisters, spiritually to others, to draw them? Not to chase them away, to draw them. How can you do it with your children? How can you do it with your aunts and uncles and cousins? How can I do that? I haven't been very successful so far to do that in my own personal family. And how can I do this, how can I put it, wisely, without feeling rehearsed? It's got to come naturally. Many people in our lives have not done what you and I have done by placing Jesus personally into our lives, but trying to set our footsteps exactly in His. That's a tough deal. Yeah. Nobody's perfect. Overall, the idea is really to engage with people and to have meaningful conversations that can lead to discussions about what? About the coming kingdom. That's the excitement of this whole thing. Can you relate to 1,000 years of life? I got 71 years I can relate to, not 1,000. That's the gospel message. It's about the coming kingdom. Yes, and the life of Jesus Christ ties into it. We won't take that out of it. It's there. What is taking place concerning God's plan? All wrapped up in the annual holy days. If they don't keep those days, are they going to know how this plan is going to unfold? No. If you keep the holy days once or twice or three times, does that mean you have all the understanding? I don't think so. I just don't think so. It has to be all the time. It has to be a walk of life. That's what it is. It's placing your footsteps in Christ. And He doesn't quit walking. So we can't quit walking towards the kingdom. We have to keep on going. And we have to somehow get that across to people so they can experience and feel the same electricity that we feel when we plugged into that Holy Spirit. It's energy. We also know there's something huge to do with the return of Christ to the earth. That's part of it as well. Being present with these people and engaged in their common topics and get involved and enjoy these kinds of discussions and waiting for a hot button. We'll talk about that as we go on here. Perhaps then we can, through our careful listening, find a place of entrance within that topic and be able to talk about our faith and be able to bring some sort of spiritual conversation into it. I try to do that. I try to look for a hot button all the time when I'm talking to people. Instead of awkwardly trying to give some sort of, as I said earlier, some kind of planned speech, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. It's a real careful entrance to go through that door from a physical congregation or conversation to a spiritual conversation. It's difficult to do. It can be done. Not only that, but the other person will perhaps feel more comfortable and open to your words when you acknowledge what they're saying. And they give you that entrance in, it kind of comes in naturally. That's how we do this. And as an important note, we need to remember that the best conversations will always stream from the place of a relationship, or the person feels that you're being a friend towards them. That's really where it starts. It really starts there. Now, before trying to share the gospel with somebody, we should try to get at least to know them a little bit first, right? The truth is, people are more apt to listen to you when they know that we care about them and about what they are saying. And you know, the usual and common topics in today's world that quite often come up in conversation, these are quite natural. Natural to them, natural to us. And we can relate to all this that's going on. And one of the big ones is this. People love to talk about current events, about the news, about the stuff they heard on television that's so exciting to them. This seems to be a hot topic with people. We come across this all the time. I'm talking, when I say we, I mean Reg and I, or Sandy and I. We hear this all the time. People talk about current events a lot. Easy to get into a talking point spiritually when you listen carefully and you say, oh, that relates to something biblical. I can say something about the coming kingdom now. People in general almost always talk about news and current events every day. Where do they get it from? Television. Internet. It's all over there. It's all over there. And also, not only that, but today's technology has paved the way. It's made it so much easier to stay up to date on the latest news. It's easy now. Didn't used to be easy, but it sure is now. It's almost too much. All the news, everything you want to know is basically one or two clicks away from the trending topics taking place today. This information brings news, and it makes, unfortunately, us sorrowful and sometimes downright angry at what we're reading about. It does. It's a given. Why? Wars, injustice, natural disasters, people starving almost everywhere. We just heard a commentary there a short minute ago about Canada becoming a very difficult place when it wasn't. And it shouldn't be, but it is. Wow, that's a mouthful. Why is it? People are not listening to God. And the curses are being reaped upon this, thrown upon this nation. People aren't listening. People are not repenting. This is what the real situation is. And we can jump in on that and tell people, why is this happening? Here's the reason why. That's how we can get in. That's how we can shine the light to people. Not only that, the persecution of fellow Christians around the world, that is real today. Very real. And the list continues on. Now, in these news stories, what do we see? We see the brokenness of this world and how sin impacts upon people's lives, right? People are going to talk about things that are happening in their lives, maybe in the lives of their family. It's all the time taking place. This is where we can take advantage of some of these common topics and use them to pique the interest in the gospel message that we want to bring out and be able to play and talk about the salvational plan of God that the two in the Godhead have put into play. We just need to do it wisely. We need to be sensitive about it and use discernment as we bring these sorts of things out. And we need to practice it. That's why I said earlier, writing it down. It's very, very important. The last thing we want to do is this. We're talking current events. We're talking kind of on a religious idea as well. Be careful not to overdo it and get into an argument. How easy is that to do? It takes place just like that. Politics, religion, two things you're not supposed to talk about. Okay? And if you do get into an argument, it will not bring forth any fruit. Okay, I've quoted one scripture. Let's go to Romans 8 this time. We were in Matthew 28. Let's go to Romans 8. Very much worn portion of your Bible, I'm sure. Let's turn there. Well, when a friend or an acquaintance talks about a natural disaster, and one of those just happened down in Jamaica, right? We can speak about the sorrow that news brings, as well as our prayers for these people that are impacted in these natural disasters, right? We've done that. We prayed for them here a few weeks ago. The topic could also lead us to the common or condition of the world and how all this creation is now waiting to be set free from the bondage of sin. And here it is in Romans 8. We'll pick it up in 18 or read it down to 22. Cutting into the context a little bit here. Romans 8 and verse 18, and I quote, "For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation itself is waiting the manifestation," is waiting the showing up, in other words, "of the sons of God," that's you and I. That's all the first fruits, okay, coming back with Christ. Verse 20, "Because the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him," that's Christ, "who subjected it in hope, in order that the creation itself might be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God." End of quote. Actually, no, not the end of quote. Verse 22. "For we know that all the creation is groaning together and travailing together until now." End of quote. So Jesus returns, as this is showing us here, with the saints to set up this kingdom. And he will make all things right. Now that's not going to happen quickly. It's going to take time. The whole world is going to be basically demolished. The whole world is going to be at war. It's going to be just unbelievable. Well, that's going to take time to repair. I might say that, I never read it in scripture anywhere, but probably many, many, many years. Maybe 100 or 2 years, 100 or 200 years. We don't know. It's not going to have a wand waved over the top that's going to all be rebuilt. I doubt that's going to happen. It's going to be rebuilt brick by brick. "Brethren, all of us are aware, we're all aware, of the gloom and the doom of the current events. Since people are already going to be talking about it, right? We can utilize the opportunity to talk about the hope that we have of Christ in this world in which we live, that's held captive to sin and darkness. All of us fully recognize that we need to have, as we witness to people, that we need to have the spiritual wisdom of God." Let's have a look at Ephesians 2 this time. Let's turn there. We're going to read the first three verses. Ephesians 2, and let's be reminded, after which we read, "The intention by God the Father Jesus Christ to enlighten us with the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of Christ." We read of the reminder here about something that's very, very important. Ephesians 2, and we'll read 1 to 3. And I quote, "And you, Christ made alive, you are dead in trespasses and sins." Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, verse 2, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit," that's not capitalized by the way, so it's not God's spirit, "the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others," or in other words, even as the rest of the world. End of quote. Why bring this scripture out? Because television and or movies is another fantastic talking point in today's world. It pops up quite naturally as well. When people get to go, "Oh, did you see that movie?" You hear that all the time. "Oh, did you check that one out? It was really good." You hear that all the time. It could be a story that's built around a historical period, or it could be entirely invented just as a story would be invented. I'm going to share something with you here a little bit about that. They bring forth emotions, and bring us into contact with the viewpoints of others. Like any good story, that best movie gives insight into the human condition and all of our relationship with the world and other people around us. Now, much like literature and books, believers can well know movies, we can see that there's evangelistic talking points around movies. There always is. Films are what? They're super easy to talk about. Many people enjoy discussing their favorite movies or this new favorite release they just watched. They chat about the topic, usually what they're interested in. People talk about what they're interested in, right? That's kind of how it goes. They become more comfortable and open to deeper questions about their beliefs and values. And sometimes people watch these shows and they're actually built on real life experiences. Those are really interesting films when you watch those. Some Christians, though, they may feel hesitant sometimes about watching a particular movie because of its content, because of its language, and just because of what it's based around. Just in our house, Sammy says, let's not watch that movie. It's pretty gory. Sandy likes to watch these movies that leave you with a good feeling. You know, and a lot of people are like, I like that too. I like the, what do we call them, feel-good movies? Yeah, we tend to like watching those. But every believer, let's look at it from this perspective, every believer should be concerned, really, about what they're putting their mind into, what they're watching. However, even if we object to a movie, we can still stay informed. Maybe by reading summaries, or maybe by reading reviews. Sometimes that's helpful. You read that, do I want to watch that movie? I think I'll go and read a review on it first. Yeah, I don't want to watch it. Or yeah, I do want to watch it. Based on a review you read, right? So in doing so, we may find a specific point or theme in the movie that sparks a discussion with someone. So it's another talking point, isn't it? Now I have one that I want to share with you. It was a movie that I've seen 3 times now. First time I fell upon it, just come off, it was on Netflix a couple years ago. And it jumped out at me personally. And then Sandy and I watched it. We thought we hadn't watched it. So we watched it I remember I'd seen this one before, but it was like a new movie again the second time. And I just watched it again last week because I wanted to look at it just to remind myself because I wanted to bring it up in this message. It was a film that was released back in 2016. It was called Passengers. It was called Passengers. There's a touristy movie called Passengers. This particular one, Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence starred in the film. They were the stars. And it was a film about a routine journey through space to this new home. And 2 out of the 5,000 passengers on board who were sleeping in suspended animation were woken up because there was some problems with the ship. They woke these 2 people up after 30 years of suspended animation. They woke up 90 years early. And they were going to have to spend the rest of their lives on board the starship. And they weren't going to journey to this new place. This new world they were going to. It was going to take 120 years of space travel to get there. That's why they were all in suspended animation. And all these people were picked because of who they were, what they could bring to this new world they were going to. Anyways, the ship malfunctioned, and these 2 people out of the 5,000 were woken up by mistake. And the starship was still going through malfunctions, and if these 2 people had not woken up, the whole ship would have been, all 5,000 would have died. So it was a good thing they did wake up. So the negative thing in the film was they woke up, now they're going to die on board. But they had this ship that gives them everything. But it was, and we'll go on here and just read this here. It had really neat biblical overtones to it. And that's why I quoted that Romans 8 to you. The principalities and powers of the air. And I thought, you know, this is not God transmitting this to me. This is This is satanic transmission. You ever watch a movie and say, oh, it's amazing how Satan transmits his things through his ideas and deceptions through television. I thought, this is interesting. This is Satan telegraphing a false kingdom to come. It's way over there on this planet that takes 120 years to travel to it in space. And these people are going to, they've died. They're in this suspended animation. They've died. And they're going to be woken up by a computer down the road at 120 years later. They're going to be in this kingdom. Well, I thought, you know, it's much like the kingdom of God, right? Because we're all going to go to sleep and be woken up. And the day we wake up, we're taken somewhere, whether it's to the Sea of Glass over Jerusalem, whether it's to the king, whether it's to God's throne, or I don't know. We don't know that for sure. But it had similar themes built into it. That's why this movie attracted me so much to it. Because it made me think of that. Movies sometimes can do that, can't they? So, the bottom line is this. We don't have to transform ourselves into movie experts or pop culture professionals or anything like that. But we can just be aware of what's taking place. And when we're out there talking to people and they bring this kind of thing up, you've got your entrance way into it through that movie. Oh, I watched that movie. It made me think of this. It made me think of the kingdom. And you can go on and explain about the kingdom of God. Whoa, I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me that. Where did you say you met? And which day did you meet on? Oh, next Saturday at the Days Inn. Oh, do you talk about these kinds of things? It can happen, right? Look, all of you guys are here. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And somehow, something led you here. Many are called. And I'm hoping that we'll all be chosen. You know what? We will be. If we hold fast to the end. So it's a talking point, right? So we should be willing to talk as well, not only about news and all that sort of thing, not only about movies, you could have a whole bunch of talking points, but also we should be willing to talk about our own experiences and our own shared experiences with others as a way of connecting to others. We have our own personal stories, don't we? Yeah. Have we all heard about the need to share our testimony? Yes, we have. Share your testimony. The story of how you came in this life to understand what you're doing now and what you're involved in. But how many of us have actually decided to do that? Oh, I'll let Stefan do it. I'll let Reg do it. Or I'll let whoever do it. You don't do it. We have to be doing it. It's part of the calling, right? Remember Matthew 20, what is it? Matthew, the very first scripture we read? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. 16 to 20, I read that. That's the commission, to go out there and preach the gospel to the world. We do it our own personal ways. So, the good news is this. No one can argue with your testimony. They can't. It's yours. They can't take it away from you. So make your testimony really interesting. They may not agree with your particular views. You might be talking to a person that belongs to a church, but not a Sunday or not a Sabbath-keeping church. They might have their own views. You're not going to get perfection on this, but they cannot disagree with your story. And that sometimes has an effect on us, doesn't it? Knowing this sort of thing should motivate us to start a conversation with an unbelieving loved one or neighbor about what spiritually has taken place in our personal lives. If you have never crafted a testimony before, here are some tips. Here are some tips, if you've never done it yet. Write it out beforehand. Do not wait until the last moment to think about how you will tell your story if you have and how you've come to the faith. Don't wait till the last moment. Start writing it out. It'll be something you're going to constantly update. I think I'll do this. And after a while you get to know it so well, you won't look at your notes. It'll just flow out of you. And you can use that thing every time. You don't have to create a new one. You just need one. It's all you need, one. Write it out, type it out, your whole salvation story, and practice telling it to others. Be prepared. We'll help you feel more confident. And guess what you can do? Bring it here. Bring it right here as a testimony, as an exhortation. Practice doing it. Why wouldn't you bring it here and practice? You can. Anybody can do that. The more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. You get be able to do it with somebody you don't know very well. Second idea, keep it simple. That K-I-S-S idea, right? Keep it simple. Testimonies do not have to be elaborately long or complicated. Even if yours has a lot of details, try to find a way to simplify it so that the story doesn't start to bog people's ideas or bog people's thinking down. Okay? Stay away from dates and all this kind of stuff. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Watch their face. How are they reacting to it? If their eyes are glazed over, you've lost them. So keep it simple. Try not to lose the impact of the testimony by making it packed with too many details. Okay? Here's another one. Another idea. Keep it focused on Christ and on what He is doing regarding the coming kingdom of God. Stories of salvation are about what Jesus did in your life. So we should keep the focus on what is yet to come. That's what we keep the focus on. What is yet to come? Make sure to include a clear presentation of the coming kingdom. God the Father and His Son, the Christ, have, as we well know, this perfect plan laid out through these annual holy days. And the majority of people out there have never, ever, ever heard of that before. This is where the deceptions lie. They're all focused on what was going on behind us here just a minute ago. All the lies are focused on, not the truth. That's what is taking place. Remember that the truth has been tampered with by old scratch. And that's what holds the majority into the bondage. All these lies that are brought out. That holds people. It's amazing how people gravitate to that kind of thing. So it's important to bring this kind of thing out to others. Now, another important thing. Don't forget to pray about it. Ask God to inspire you throughout the process of crafting your testimony in the first place. Practice it and find ways to share it with unbelieving people in your life. The more you share it, the better that you and I are going to get at this. Pray for the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts for the listeners and to give you the strength to tell this story of the good news. It is awesome good news, to say the least. We are not meant to engage in these discussions alone either. Talking to unbelieving people in our lives, it can be very challenging. So we can wonder sometimes what to say and how will we make a difference to make these people want to listen to what we're talking about. Open up a conversation somehow about the gospel. As I said, the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. However, by utilizing common talking points in life like news or movies or your story, we can connect with people in very creative ways. So let's stay attentive to every opportunity, even the most ordinary ones, to tell others about Christ and about this gospel of the coming kingdom. Brethren, we're here today and we're about to enter into a brand new calendar year. With that, we're going to have a few changes coming in this particular chapter of God's Church. We have Bernard, we have Dwight, and personally here in this congregation, Sonia has handed the baton over to Eric. So that's going to be a nice change for 2026. These people are all involved in the evangelism committee. So I'm looking forward to that change. Really looking forward to it. what we heard in Collingwood this year from our new president of evangelism, that was Bernard, he is going to be more focused on belly to belly, about personal evangelism. That's what I'm talking about here today. I'm sure that we're going to be hearing about that as we progress through the new calendar year of 2026. So let's close up with this, kind of right back to where we started. Back in the Gospel of Luke, though we're not going to go to Matthew, in the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, we read of Jesus telling his human father and his human mother, who were at this time distressed and looking for him. They thought, where is he? He's lost. And they were very distressed, and they were looking for him, and they found him a while later. When they did find him, here's what Jesus said to them. Luke 2 and verse 49. He says, don't you realize, he's just a fairly young man, don't you realize that I must be about my Father's business? That's kind of what Matthew 28 was saying, wasn't it? You got to show these people the Father's business. Brethren, we as well are given to this very same commission as we continue our sojourn toward this narrow gate which leads and grants us entrance into the kingdom of God. So I will end there. Put this off.